Convene the August 2011 meeting of the Marine Resources Commission. The next item on the agenda is public comment. This is opportunity for those in the audience that wish to be heard on matters not on the agenda. Mr. Smith. Good to see you, sir. Sir. All right, sir.
Gentlemen, the just wanted to show you, I have clipped in here with what I'm going to present today, a brochure.
State your name for the record, Ken.
Ken Smith. For those of you that don't know me, I'm president of the Virginia Waterman Association.
Again, good to have you here today, sir.
I see there's some of them that are new commissioners that I haven't met before, and I see Mr. Palmer can clean up.
I would have worn bibs and boots today, but they wouldn't let me.
Yes, we would.
I'll remember that for the next meeting, sir.
What I'm going to present to you today is not this brochure, but I'd like for y'all to see it because it's hopefully I can come back and talk to y'all about the Virginia Watermen's Association and preserving the heritage. Mr. Palmer spoke in the last item that was up about ecotourism. One of the things that we are getting ready to do as an association is start some geotourism. We're looking for the money for that now. I don't know if you've heard about that, Mr. Commissioner, or not.
I hadn't.
We are actively pursuing that. And you will see that there is a application where you commissioners can join the Virginia Watermen's Association or make a donation. And I know all of you are to prove to the watermen that you're not as bad a guy as they think you are.
Not them, you. No. It's a good-looking brochure, Ken. It really, really is. Very, very impressive.
I look forward to talking to you all about the geotourism. But what I've come here to talk to you about today is the blue crab fishery disaster plan. And, Mr. Commissioner, this says Virginia Marine Resources Commission on it, but I am not going to be attacking you today, so you can take a deep breath there and say thank you. But what I would like to talk to you about is the coal ring and terrapin excluder device project that was part of that plan. And I've just highlighted some things in there for you gentlemen to look at instead of read this thing over completely. The goal of this was to provide employment for Virginia's watermen. The objective and activity was to employ Virginia's watermen, determine the effects of different coal ring sizes in crab pots, and to determine the effects of bycatch reduction devices in crab pots. If you look down under methods and rationale, it says all activities will be coordinated by VIMS and implemented by Virginia watermen. And then I think this is a particularly important section of this. It says this is to be expected to be fully cooperative effort with VIMS and the Virginia, with VMRC and the Virginia Watermen's Association. So VIMS was going to implement the plan. You and us were going to be partners in this plan. And when I say, when I read full cooperative effort, I think that all three entities would be equal, and we would discuss any part of these plans or any changes in these plans. Going over to the next size, it says final coal ring sizes and field size to be determined in conclusion with VMRC and Virginia Watermen. Again, I'm trying to emphasize this thing. VMRC and Virginia Watermen were to be in this. The employment of watermen to conduct the study. And under expenses, it says most of the expenses will be directed at employment of watermen. $300 per day plus fuel and supplies. And the budget for this was $339,000. Next page is the budget. The page, and I assume it's probably, I don't have these pages marked, but I believe it's page 5.
That's the budget.
Page 5 is the budget.
Yes, sir.
And the following page, the crab disaster relief project, coal ring bycatch reduction device study scope of work. This project will provide employment to Virginia's watermen while concurrently studying the effect of coal ring size and bycatch reduction devices on blue crab catch. On blue crab catch, we're not talking about blue catfish, peelers, any other marine life. We're talking about blue crab catch. The study will take place in early fall of 2009. I hope that's not me. The study will take place in the early fall of 2009, the spring of 2010, and the summer of 2010. The experiment will go on for four consecutive weeks a season. Each site will have a total of 14 database sampling days completed within a four-week period. So we had 14 days in 09, 14 days in the spring of 10, 14 days the summer of 10. That's what was supposed to be. Now you go down here, some additional information. It says crabbers will be compensated $225 for their time at VIMS. And also up in the top, it said that every data set was supposed to be $225 a day. The plan that BMRC submitted said $300 a day. I'm not going to argue that. I'll take the $225 for argument purposes here and what I would like to see done. And it goes on to say the 16 sites that were supposed to be conducted in this survey. If you go past that, there's a page in that work I gave you, says at the very minimum, 16 watermen are owed $4,275. The watermen were told they were going to be able to work 42 days at $225 a day. That's a total of $9,450. In the fall of 09, the watermen were given 11 days at $225 a day. Comes to $2,475. Instead of, so they missed 3 days then. In the spring of 2010, they only worked 5 days, but they did get paid $3,000 for those 5 days. It's $1,500. In the fall of 10, they got 4 days. That's it's $1,200. So they got a total pay of $5,175. The total that was supposed to have been paid to them, or what they thought they were going to get, was the $9,450 they got paid. So that's a difference of $4,275. See if I can get this up here so we don't have to. I want to try to get this budget up here so you don't have to be looking back and forth. If you go over to the total cost of the coal ring and terrapin excluded device project, the budgeted amount was $339,500. The watermen got paid, if you look at the budget, there was $180,000 down here allocated to subcontract the watermen. The way I'm looking at it, at 16 watermen at the 94 would have come to $151,000. That leaves almost $29,000 difference. What the watermen actually got, the $5,175 multiplied by 16, would come to almost $83,000. That's a difference of close to $97,000. You know, I can go into this budget. If the watermen only work 48% of their time, then common sense means that VIMS personnel should have worked 48% of their time. They were allocated $60,000 for that, so that's a $31,000. This thing with fringe benefits, I won't go into that. I don't know what fringe benefits means. Oh, I mean, is it a trip to Mexico City or whatever it is, or is it, or does it go for paying Social Security to employees? And if it does, how many VIMS projects have fringe benefits attached to it? But that's just something that came to my eye. $21,000 for sonar equipment up here. I don't know if that was supposed to be sonar equipment like the crab dredgers got, but we didn't receive any. I mean, it just is more money in that project. You can read in there where the indirect and then the 25%. But, gentlemen, what I really would like to do is would like to see done that an audit of that coal ring study be given. This was supposed to have been over in the summer of 2010. It's the summer of 2011. We have not seen that money. And in the spring of 10, when this was started, the watermen, when they were cut back to 5 days, really complained and said that they needed that money. I'd like to see everything in the commission's power to see that the watermen get compensated, at least that $42.75 that they were owed for this project. And if there are discrepancies that are in there, I'd like to see those monies go to those watermen in that project or go in some way to help the watermen out. The last two pages of the paper I gave you were press release from Governor Kane. And if you look in the second paragraph of that, it says, blue crab fishery is in dire straits and our watermen are enduring serious hardships, said Governor Kane. Today I sent a letter to U.S. Secretary of Commerce, Carlos M. Gutierrez, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, requesting a disaster declaration so that we can provide our watermen with the economic assistance they need. I mean, I think this money is determined for the watermen, you know, not the coffers of a state agency or whatever. And the way it looks like right now, when it says that the majority of the money was supposed to go to the employment of the watermen, right now, by what's been given to me, I see where the watermen have gotten $82,000, and $256,000 is still at VIMS in some way or another. I thank you.
Thank you, Doc. Mr. Smith, appreciate it. We will, Jack, you have any comment, or Dr. Lipschitz, y'all have any comment on it this time, or?
I can only say that I'm somewhat familiar with this issue because Mr. Smith has contacted me before, and I have encouraged him to discuss the matter directly with Dr. Lipschitz, who heads up that program.
Okay, that's sufficient enough.
All I can say.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else have public comments? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is one matter I wanted to bring to the commission's attention and wanted to ask Jack Travelstead a couple things about it. But the Assateague Refuge is developed at Chincoteague is developing a draft master plan. And that draft plan includes a number of straw man scenarios in it that I think are relevant to this commission's management authority and also to some of the managed fisheries here in the state. The scenarios included in this are available for public comment. The public comment period, I believe, expires September 17, which unfortunately is before our next meeting of the commission. But in one instance, in some of these scenarios, they indicate that they would preclude unauthorized commercial fisheries in the Toms Cove area. Among those would be included potentially the horseshoe crab fishery. The horseshoe crab fishery in that part of Virginia is already subject to several very significant management measures. So the fishery is managed under an interstate management plan by the ASMFC. It's quota managed. That quota is specifically spatially partitioned. And there's a reason for that that's ecological and is directly related to one of the management objectives, and that is trying to conserve horseshoe crabs for the benefit of migratory shorebirds. And so to that end, the ASMFC and this commission have worked through the development of several addenda to the ASMFC plan to try to limit the interaction of Virginia's fishery with crabs that may be of Delaware Bay origin. And that risk is higher east of the coal regs line than it is west of the coal regs line. And so that fishery that occurs west of the coal regs line is an important component of Virginia's fishery, but it's also there for a reason. And it again, would have significant ecological consequences and management consequences that would be at odds with the goals of the plan if that fishery were shifted into the waters east of the coal regs line. That quota is further partitioned like that, east and west of the coal regs line. So it's a fishery there in Tom's Cove that has had a significant history, I think, culturally for the residents of Chincoteague. There's also a gillnet fishery that interacts with those animals in that same area. And then there's a dredge fishery that operates essentially in a keyhole there west of the coal regs line at the mouth of the inlet. It's not clear whether all of those fisheries would be subjected to a prohibition under the draft master plan, but at a minimum, if they were to try to exert management authority over the species or over any of the commercial fisheries in Tom's Cove, then that would essentially be at odds with this commission, or could foreclose this commission from effectively managing those species under the interstate management plan. And I wanted to bring that to the commission's attention.
And that plan, of course, is a plan adopted through ASMFC with the participation of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, correct?
That's correct.
So they could actually be at odds with each other, potentially.
And the National Marine Fisheries Service serves on that as well.
Sure.
But I wanted to ask Jack if he could clarify that, but I would ask that the commission consider offering a comment letter prior to that, since it could interfere with our ability to effectively manage the species under that interstate management plan.
Mr. Travelstead?
We have a copy of the proposed management plan for the Assateague Island National Seashore. It's the National Park Service that put the document out. It's what they call a GMP, or General Management Plan, that's designed to address sort of long-term uses of the park, their vision of what the park should be in the long range. And there are indeed four alternatives that are described in the document. Unfortunately, they don't go into a lot of detail in the areas where we would like them to go into detail.
Sure.
Alternative one is more or less status quo, or a continuation of current management measures. Alternative two has one sentence in it that says that the Park Service would initiate a regulatory process to authorize certain types of currently unauthorized commercial fishing within the park boundary in recognition of its historic occurrence. Nothing more than that. But that seems to be pointed in
right.
our favor. They want to legalize what's occurring there now. You get to alternatives three and four, they get a little bit more specific, but not a lot of detail. One sentence again, unauthorized, this is alternative three, unauthorized commercial horseshoe crab harvest would be prohibited. And alternative four, all unauthorized commercial fishing, including horseshoe crab harvest, would be prohibited. Now, the significance of this area, and in particular Tom's Cove, is that probably in excess of 90% of our hand-harvested horseshoe crabs comes from that area. So if they prohibit it, you're going to put a significant impact on Virginia's ability to reach its quota and to provide that to the hand harvesters. And it, as Mr. Robbins pointed out, this will have no benefit to the stock as a whole. It's already being properly managed by ASMFC under a very detailed management plan. And as Rick said, that we have a number of regulations here in place that protect that fishery.
I don't know how the commission feels, but I would have no problem. Number one, I'd like some clarity. Those terms that are being utilized, I try to read into them the best I possibly can, but sometimes if you try to read into what's there without specifics, you get in trouble. So number one, I'd like some clarity. Number two, I would like to, if it pleases the commission, ask them to, or remind them of the plans that are in place and how closely we how much we respect those plans and how we closely monitor the quota. And I think that that's because I'm a little, after looking at the plan the last couple of days, I'm not really really certain what those what they mean. So is that okay with my consensus members of the commission to ask for it? Okay. Good enough?
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Travelstead.